Actually, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And every year during Christmas break, I spend some time praying and thinking and planning and getting a pen out. And now I get a computer out and plan for the new year. This year, usually I'll go up to camp for a day, maybe two. This year, Brother Ross and the youth department got Brother Grandy and myself an inn, very nice inn, a few miles up the hill, which was very, very nice place. By the way, I want to thank all the workers and Brother Ross again for, to me, personally, I wasn't there for all the preaching, but as far as the spirit and just the Christian conduct of our teenagers, just it made me proud to be their pastor. And I know you're not supposed to be proud, but you know what I mean. It just made me. And then I left one day. I was leaving after a service, after Wednesday night service, and Brother Ross had all the workers, and there was a huge amount of adult workers, and they're just people that grew up here and just love the Lord. They were there. Some of them were married couples. A lot of parents, not a lot, but the handful of parents came. And so what a blessing. But while I was up there, I got to spend a lot of time praying and thinking and reading and planning for the new year. And I'm thrilled about what I think God will do this new year in Pacific Baptist Church. And so I'm going to, tonight's message, it's a very churchy Pacific Baptist. We have guests here. Whenever you open the Bible, it's for everybody. But it's a very Pacific Baptist Church message. And it's going to be about, a few different messages on Thursday night. Just what we believe God can and will do in the future for this year. And actually, I gave this similar lesson to our staff this morning, and it was an hour and 10 minutes. Okay, so we're not going to do the staff one, all right? We're going to do maybe two. The staff one, we're going to cut it in half and just do half of it. Our theme this year is "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength." And that is a theme that really should be the basis of our life. And just loving God, glorifying God with all our being. I like to hang out with people that really, and we have a lot of people in our church that have that as their heart. I like to listen to messages. Some people are just really good preachers. I think they're good Christians. And then there's some preachers that just love God. I mean, they're just holy people, people that really, really, really love God. I've tried to just hang out with some of those people in recent days. I hang out with them by being online or listening to a CD or sermon. And so I'll share a few things about that. Let's stand together. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is then we're going to look at several different verses. Does everybody have a handout? Do we pass out the handouts? Do we have handouts? Okay, good. 1 Corinthians 2, why don't we go down to verse 9, and then we're going to look at a few more scriptures. "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Now, in a nutshell, that's pretty simple. If you really love God, God's going to really do something special in your life. Okay? And that's a promise. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things. You say, what are things? I'm not sure. I'll let God decide what those things are. The things that God hath prepared for those that love him. Okay? And with our theme tonight, there's always a blessing to obeying God. Okay? Would it not be a wonderful thing if each of us, as individuals, as families, and as a church, we were characterized as lovers of God? Father, help us tonight as we give a little introduction to a little series to help us to be on that journey, I think, that most of us are already on in regards to loving you. This is the introduction tonight, Lord, and we're really not even going to get into the thrust of the future. We're going to look at the past a little bit as we look at your word. We need your help, Lord, and we're beggars. And Lord, we cry out to you for your help as we open your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 6, if you would, please. By the way, in order for us to look in the future for this year, I want us, and I'll shed a little bit more light next Thursday, I want us to look a little bit at the last 4 years of our church, okay? And by the way, a lot of the Bible is history. I like history. When I was in Bible college, when I was in college, I didn't like history. Or high school, I didn't like history. How many like history? Okay, I love history. I don't like to take the history tests, okay? And Dr. Rasmussen made us study and made us know, you know, Abraham Lincoln's cousin's uncle's brother's poodle's name. And I didn't like that part, but I like history because history teaches us lessons that we can learn, different things that different people did that you shouldn't do and things that they did that you should do. We're going to look at a little history, but I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 6 and look at verse number 10. By the way, I think your message is to say order in the church. I don't know if we'll even get to that thought tonight, but we might. This is just an introduction to the Thursday night series. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Okay? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And of course, those of you familiar with the Bible knows that he's going to go into spiritual warfare. So what do you have to do to deal with the devil? And by the way, there is a real devil. Sometimes, and I talked to somebody about this today. Actually, I think I talked to Josh about it today. I don't even say things that I know because I think our people might think I'm kooky. Okay, there's a real devil. Okay, there's a real devil. And the Lord's, and by the way, the devil's not omnipresent. He's not everywhere. Okay. He's not omnipotent, he's not all-powerful, he's not omniscient, he doesn't know everything. However, he has an army of demons. In the book of Daniel, the Bible tells us that he has a hierarchy of certain, there are certain princes, okay, meaning devil leaders, okay, of certain countries and certain geographic areas. No doubt, Long Beach has a few demon generals, okay? And so there is a spiritual warfare out there. And by the way, if you don't understand that there's a spiritual warfare, sometimes you take things personal that happen, and you don't understand that there may be, and by the way, we don't want to take away personal responsibility. Some people, oh, the devil made me do it, okay? We don't believe in Flip Wilson Christianity. And there's only 10 of you to know who Flip Wilson is, okay? How many know who Flip Wilson is? Flip, okay, oh, wow, you're older than I thought, okay? Flip Wilson used to be a comedian, and he always said, and the devil made me do it, okay? Then patches came out, you know, the devil made me do it. And everybody, you know, they'd go kill somebody and say, it was Flip Wilson, the devil made me do it, okay? So, but the book of Ephesians here, we see that the Apostle Paul, inspired of the Holy Spirit, is saying, you got to be strong in the Lord if you're going to be able to fight with the devil and his demons, okay? We don't mean fight like this, but he goes on, he talks about wrestling, okay? How many wrestled when you were in high school? Anybody wrestle? I don't mean wrestle your brother. I mean, literally, you wrestled, you competed, okay? You got a wrestler right here. You got to be in good shape to wrestle. They try to get you to that lower weight class, strong muscles, as skinny as Perry Bautista, okay, or Charlie Chim. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. So you got to be strong in the Lord, then you put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles. The wiles are the deceit, the tricks, of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. Okay, these are the demons hierarchy, the different ways that the devil works, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. So let's look up here just a moment. God is saying that we're in a battle. There's a spiritual battle, okay? And this spiritual battle, often, especially in the Old Testament, is pictured in the way of a military fight. It's like Mortal Kombat. It's not the game that you were playing, okay? But it's real. There's a real battle, okay? Now, I want to just look at a couple verses when Paul was constantly talking about his co-laborers. You look at different parts of the Bible, he's always talking about his group of men, and he's mentioning them, a Titus. By the way, Titus, I like, maybe if I have another, not me, but if my wife has another baby, we'll call him Titus. We know more about Timothy, maybe because there's two books in the Bible called 1st and 2nd Timothy, but Titus was someone who was very close to Paul. But Paul identified his co-laborers in different ways. But one way he identified them was soldiers. Soldiers. And the reason he identified them as soldiers is because we are soldiers. This is a battle, okay? Now look over to Philippians, okay? That was when Paul was in the Philippines. You're supposed to be laughing right now. He was not in the Philippines. He was in Cambodia, okay? Philippians chapter 2. And look at verse number 19. But I trust, Philippians chapter 2, verse 19. But I trust the Lord to send Timotheus, that was Timothy, shortly, unto you, that I also may be of, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. That was sort of Paul's evaluation. In a sense, it was his, most of who he worked with, a lot of the people, compared to Timothy, they weren't as caring, so forth. Verse 22, but ye know of the proof that him, a proof of him, that as a son with a father, he hath served with me in the gospel. So he's talking about Timothy. Then he goes on and he mentions others. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet, verse 25, I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor, and fellow whom? Can everybody say it? Fellow who, class? Fellow soldier. He said, Epaphroditus is my fellow soldier, okay? And what he's saying is, we read there in Ephesians, we have a spiritual battle. What he's saying is, we're soldiers of the cross because there is a spiritual battle. Now, let's do this. Let's look over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Just make a right turn, and we'll go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now, we're a little familiar with these verses also. Some of us would be. Just sort of laying the groundwork, and actually tonight's entire message is an introduction to a series here. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1. Thou therefore, my son, again, Paul is addressing his son. By the way, let me say this. I want to encourage all of us, no matter how long you've been a Christian. I have five biological sons. I want to encourage you, get some spiritual sons. See, what's a spiritual son? It's either someone that you've won to Christ, or someone maybe that was in the church and maybe they love the Lord, but they needed someone to invest in, and you invest in them, and they look up to you like a spiritual father. Matter of fact, you are their spiritual father because of how your relationship is. And that was Paul. That's what Paul was saying about his son, about Timothy. He says, "Thou therefore, my son," it was not his physical son, "be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good," what, class? Say it again, please. "Soldier of Jesus Christ." Paul said to the Ephesians, he says, this is not battling flesh and blood. He said, we're in a spiritual warfare. He's identifying Epaphroditus as a soldier in the gospel. Then Paul says to Timothy, he says, "Endure hardness as a good soldier." How many here were in the military? How many here you were in the military? Vietnam, you were in Vietnam, right, Brother Jerry? Okay. In the military. Different people in the military. Okay, Nick. Okay, Brother Stevenson. Military here. Okay. Now, how many remember boot camp? Remember that? Remember how nice they were? Remember they said, what kind of haircut would you like to have? Remember that? And remember when you didn't like something, they said, oh, okay, we'll take care of it. Then they said, get out and do 50 push-ups. I remember my brother told me when he went in he was a paratrooper. He said, man, those guys got you so low. He said they had him on his back going like this with both hands saying, I'm a dying cockroach. That was a part of his training. But a good soldier is someone who's well trained. Okay? A good soldier is someone that knows how to, and Paul mentions it, endures. By the way, we're in a very pastel culture. Okay? Boys want to quit. Don't let your boys quit anything. Now, if they are not going to stay in something, you know, they're on the hopscotch team. Let them finish the hopscotch team. Let them finish the season. If they want to not go to next season, that's okay. Don't let your boys quit. Okay? We live in this quit and stop. Well, someone hurt my feelings. Come on. That's for the girls, not for the guys. Right? Okay, just you know, I know. Look at verse number 4. No man that warreth, again, another military term, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. A soldier. Now, let's go over to Philemon. Go over two books, or past Titus, and you get Philemon. By the way, our mascot for our school used to be soldiers. Okay, Brother Ross was a soldier. Tari was a soldier. I'm trying to think. How many were soldiers? Joshua, you were a soldier. My brother, I can't believe he did it. He talked me into being patriots. Okay, you know, can't change your name every 3 years. So anyway, soldiers. Look at Philemon. There's only one chapter in Philemon. Look at verse 1. Philemon, verse number 1. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and, verse 2, to our beloved Apphia, and our Crispus, our fellow soldier. Fellow whom, class? Soldier, and to the church of thy house. Now look at your outline I'm going to jump right into it. Number one, the Lord is pictured as different types of a leader. Psalms 23, we see the Lord pictured as a shepherd. Okay, we see in many different contexts and more in the Old Testament. We just use New Testament verses. Also, the Lord is a picture of a military leader. Okay, and we're God's soldiers of the cross, if you would. There's songs about being soldiers. The missionary that's alive that I look up to the most is Daryl Chaplin. Daryl Chaplin is he's probably about 84 now. I'll close the message with just a little testimony. Just a very, very godly man. And he went through a lot, and I'll close with a message on it. But he has a message, and he talks about there's two types of Christians. And he says there are Christians that look at God as a shepherd, and they stay there, okay? And they caring for the sheep, and that's good. And by the way, aren't you glad that God cares for us? Aren't you glad that God, you know, even when he breaks our leg, like the shepherd would break the leg if the sheep would go astray, and then the shepherd would fix the leg and wrap it back up. And, you know, sometimes God breaks our leg, you know, and he puts it back together and wraps it back up, and he cares for us. But he said there's two types of Christians. He says those that just look at the Lord as a shepherd. And he said then there's like the next level of Christianity and those that look at God as a general. And he said, we're down here to do the Lord's work. That's why we're left down here. Paul said, I'm in a strait betwixt. I would much rather to die and to be with Christ, but it's much more needful for me to stay down here and to serve the Lord. And some of you, you're familiar with that. So the Lord is pictured in different types of leader, and one is a shepherd, and then we see here tonight as a general. Number two. Now, we're going to get a little personal with our church. Pacific Baptist has been fighting spiritually on four fronts the last 3 years. Four fronts. That's in your outline. Letter A, Jerusalem. That's here, Long Beach, surrounding cities. Go ahead and fill those in. I'll explain. We've been fighting on four fronts. Judea and Samaria. That's Monterey Park for us in a specific way. Letter C, uttermost parts of the earth. Now, we've been supporting missionaries. We pray for missionaries. John came up here and prayed for missionaries here tonight. But in a very specific way, we've been on two fronts in Cambodia and Laos. That's the 1040 window. By the way, I talked to, actually, Josh is a medic. He was a medic in the military. I'm going to have him come up here and share a few things. But we talked a little bit about this. But the 1040 window, and you gave me this new little phrase, it really is the devil's playground. The 1040 window is a place where very few missionaries go. There's very few Christians, and many of the missionaries that go there, they come back, okay? And God, and there's a lot of communism, and there's actually, in the 1040 window, there's a lot of Muslims, okay? And there's a lot of communism. And so God has enabled us to send teams to the 1040 window. By the way, say why we're doing that? Because he's a faithful general, and we want to be a faithful soldier. Okay? And let me say this, and I'll say this every once in a while. It would be easier for us not to do a lot of what we've been doing the last 3 to 4 years. But if he's our general and we're his soldier, let's bid his business. Let's do what he wants us to do. And then also, let's do what he's enabled us to do. There's a lot of things we can't do right now. We can't. So we've been working on four fronts. Now, I just talked to Brother Hardesty, and he said his son's going to be going to Afghanistan here in about a month, a couple months, 6 months. In 6 weeks, he'll go for about 8 months. Okay, now we're fighting. Okay, and I know we're sort of not in Iraq anymore, but, you know, we're always there, sort of. But at one time, we were in Iraq and Afghanistan, two big fronts. And I remember in the news and reading in the newspaper and hearing different commentators, they'd say, how many battles or how many fronts can our American military fight? You only have so many soldiers. You only have so much infrastructure. Okay, now, I want us to understand as a church, sometimes if you don't understand your history, you don't know where you are today and you don't know where you're going tomorrow. Okay, we learn Baptist heritage and we understand that. But we as a church, and by the way, to God be the glory and thank God for faithful people, we've been fighting on four fronts. Okay? And you say, well, we're not doing much for Cambodia. A lot of people in here are doing a bunch for Cambodia. They're praying. They're giving. They're keeping in contact with the people in Cambodia. Same thing with Laos. We're giving them moral support. By the way, our church, we've sent out. It's not like, oh, we lost them. No, we sent them out. But guess what? That means there's a vacuum of leadership in our church. Okay? And that happens. But we're doing it for our general. Amen? Okay? So, now, when you're working as a church or even as an individual and we're over there, really the 1040 window, we're here. And by the way, and I don't want to tell you any spooky stories tonight. I might give you two spooky stories. How many want a spooky story tonight? Oh, okay. I got a brand new one. I get them all. The last 4 years, I've pastored 24 years. The last 4 years, I would think I was like the Twilight Zone pastor. There's more weird stuff that has happened than you can shake a stick at. It's wild. It's just wild, okay? You say, was Satan trying to spook you? No, he does different things to slow you down, to wear you out, to stop you. And so over these 4 years, when we started, and the church was going about 20 years, and then when we started church planning, and we started sending missionaries from our church to the 1040 window, let me say this. Satan wasn't happy. And that's not just a cliche. That's the real deal. And different things happen. Now, look at number three. Once we, Josh, why don't you come on up here? I'm going to have Josh say something in a minute. Once we started to engage in real spiritual combat, a wave of attacks started on our church and many people in our church. You know some. I know a lot. See, where'd all this happen? 4 years ago. By the way, if you're a Christian, you're always being, there's always going to be some attack. But the truth of the matter is, if the enemy knows where our SEALs are and our special forces are and our airborne rangers are, That's where the enemy is going to attack. Okay? You say, Pastor, you're trying to say we're something special? No, we're not something special, but we've just made ourselves available. By the way, the greatest ability is availability. If you have all kinds of abilities, but you don't make yourself available, guess what? You're useless. We've just made ourselves available. That's all. We've made our people available, and we've encouraged. Listen, serve the Lord with all of your hearts, whether it's here in Long Beach or it's abroad, and we've just done that. Many ways. Sometimes he just wears you out. if you study the Bible, you study how Satan works, that's one thing he does. He just tries to wear you out, okay? That's how the enemy works. And actually, Josh will share a few things. Basically, I'm going to have Josh come up here in a minute. He's a medic. See, what does he do? He takes care of soldiers. And it's really the same types of ailments that physical soldiers have, spiritual soldiers have. Okay, and I was listening to a sermon by a preacher recently. Said one of, or no, I was reading a book. It says one of the great tools of Satan is just wearing you out. Once you're worn out, you're vulnerable to sin, to false doctrine, to immorality, to alcohol, to drugs. The punching your husband in the face. All kinds of crazy things. You're just worn out. Okay? One of the things, and I've talked a little bit about sleep. Okay? You probably won't believe this. We had one of our staff members say, it's weird. Something keeps happening about 3 o'clock in the morning. Where I live, waking me up and waking others up that I know 3 o'clock in the morning. Then this staff member started talking to some others, including myself, You won't believe this, but I'm going to tell it anyway. And we're going to get the Twilight Zone stories out, and then we'll go on to Brother Joshua. And he called Brother Souter, and he said, "What's the deal about a specific time, especially late at night?" He said a couple things. One, do you know if you can't sleep, you're more vulnerable to the enemy? How many would say this? I was going to say my husband or wife. Let's not do that. How many would say this? When you are really tired, you're not as Christian as you should be. Anybody like that? Okay. I thought my son was the only one. So Satan tries to wear you out. And Brother Souter went on to explain, and then I'm not going to go into all the details. And if you want to know more details, you come and ask me, just how that demons sort of have a strategy. We had several guys. I'm just going to tell you, I was one of them. One of the staff members said, "Pastor, has anything been happened to you at 3 o'clock in the morning?" And I said, "Why? It's a text." And the staff member said, "It's been happening to Joseph." By the way, we didn't all get in cahoots about it. That night, I'm not kidding, I woke up, and I know I woke up. Why I woke up? By the way, when I wake up, I can't go back to sleep. My wife wakes up, she's back to sleep in 3 seconds. My kids, they won't even ever wake up. Hurricane comes in. Earthquake comes in. Somebody does a drive-by shooting on our house. No, they don't wake up. If there's a flea flying around in the hallway next door, I wake up. But all of a sudden, I woke up, and I'm going, why did I wake up? And I try to set up my room. It's dark. We close the windows. You know, try to do everything we can to customize so that just good sleep. And I go, I'm going to look at this clock. My clock is 5 minutes fast. It was 3:05. Amen. Who said that? I couldn't go back to sleep. Guess what happened the next night? He said, "Oh, you just wake up at 3. No, I didn't. No. Brother Shane fixed my, I had an electrical problem. He fixed my problem. He fixed it today. So my clock wasn't running. It wasn't 5 minutes fast. It was going on and off. It was right on time. By the way, do you know demons know how to tell time? Boom. 3 o'clock. It wasn't 3:05. It was like, psh, what happened? I don't know what happened. Now, you're not going to believe this one, and I'm done with Twilight Zone after this one. But I couldn't go back to sleep. They're being nice to me. We had another guy, same thing's been happening. Now, I said I want to see this. Maybe we'll show it in church. He set up a camera. He said, something's going on at night. In my room, he set up a camera in his room. Now, I haven't seen this yet, so I'm not saying this is true. I'm saying it's true that I'm looking at the clock 3 o'clock and there's others. Something's going on. Something's fishy. Okay? This guy set up a camera in his room. He said, something's happening. He said, while I'm sleeping. He said it. Anyway, if it's not true, at least it was, you know, something you can talk about when you go home tonight. He pulled the camera the next day because something fishy's going on. He said he watched it. The camera, I guess, so you can go on for 5 hours. He watched the camera, and the blankets were being pulled off of him, and nobody was there. Isn't this going to be fun for your kids to go home tonight? Everybody's bathroom lights are going to be on, okay? Now, we ought to show that one in church on Sunday night, okay? You say, Pastor, what are you saying? By the way, I don't care waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning. But Satan and his demons, you said, do you think Lucifer's in your room? I don't think Lucifer's in your room. I'll tell you this. I think some of his demons are messing with Christians in this church. No, I don't think. I know that. Okay? And so there are three enemies of Christians. We know this. The flesh, that's our bad nature. The world. I talked to a pastor 3 days ago of one of the three largest independent Baptist churches in America. He said, Brother Esposito, he said, the last 2 years, we've had more marital problems in our church, and the church has been in existence a lot longer than ours. He said, we've had more marital problems in our church than the history of our church. Well, the world's out there coming into the church, it's coming into Christians, and guess what's happening? We're developing an appetite for the world, and it's affecting us. So we have the flesh, the world, but let me say this. When we decided 4 years ago, please get this. By the way, you don't have to believe this. I know this. When we decided as a church, okay, to say, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go out of this world fighting for God, getting the gospel not just locally, get it in Judea and Samaria, get it in the uttermost parts of the earth. God has gifted us with many different people that are bilingual. They know the culture. They know the language. And some of our other people, because they've been around these people, they love these people. And we've sent them to 1040. Let me say, as soon as we did that, much attack on this church. Please get that. Now look at number four, and I'm going to have Brother Josh come up here. No more spooky stories. I have a couple more, but we won't. Number four, there will always be casualties and hurt in real combat. Always. You cannot be in, by the way, I don't mind being hurt fighting for God. I don't mind. I don't want to. I don't want to be in the Fox's Book of Martyrs. But I hope, and I hope that I'd be willing to. There will always be casualties and hurt in real combat. And I'm going to have Josh come up here in just a second. I remember Brother Fisher coming to our church, and you know, Brother Fisher, and by the way, he'll be here at the end of the month. He's new levels, new devils. New levels, new devils. I didn't get it when he first said it. And he was communicating, hey, you know what? You guys started off as this nomad church, a storefront church, but you know what? God is giving you more opportunities. Guess what happens? New devils. New devils. New levels. New devils. I'm going to have Josh come up here, and he's going to spend about, I gave him, when we talked a little bit, I said, I need just only 5 minutes. And after we talked, I said, I'm going to give you six. Okay, so at 5:30, Ezekiel's going to stand up, and then at 6, Cody's going to come over here and escort him off. No, he's a medic, and he understands. He's been in Iraq, and he understands mortal combat, okay? And he's going to just share a couple things, Josh. I don't know if you want this. All yours. Thank you for helping.
Good evening, Pacific Baptist Church family. As most of you guys know, I served 13 years as a medic in the California Army National Guard. In 2005, I did a combat deployment to Iraq. After reflecting on my career, I have found there are three different stages that most combat veterans go through during their career. We all start with training and preparing for war. And part of this training are war games. During war games, you run around, find the assimilated bad guys, kill the bad guys, you either accomplish or fail your mission. At the end, during this training, you have simulated injuries, deaths, and just casualties. So afterward, often we would joke and laugh about injuries or our mistakes or even a way one of the guys got taken out during the training. The training is always very serious and intense. However, we had a lot of fun with it. That's your first stage. The second stage is when all this training is put to the test, combat. The harsh reality of what combat is strikes the first time you see somebody go down. Whether it's a mortar round that blows your buddy's legs off, or an IED that results in the decapitation of a fellow soldier, the fun and jokes are gone. Combat stress can set in. However, you drive on and remain focused on the mission. Now, the final stage is returning home from combat. And this stage is the stage I like to focus on. This can be the hardest stage. As a medic, I've seen the casualties of war, I've treated the casualties, and in some aspects, I've been a casualty myself. In war, you can lose both your legs because of a mortar round lands next to your foot, such as Chad, who served in the Navy. You can walk around with a permanent limp because an IED goes off, blows your truck up, and you're thrown through the front windshield, such as a Turkish third country national truck driver that served with us. You can even be killed by some lucky sniper that lands his bullet between your eyes. Or you can be like me and make it home without one physical scrape on your body. There are some scars that cannot be seen, though, which come in the form of PTSD, depression, and so on. These scars can be worse than what we typically think of when we think of combat casualties. Take, for example, the veteran you see in the wheelchair, half drunk, missing both his legs, begging for money outside of 7-Eleven. Some may say the reason he's in that state is because he lost his legs in war. However, there are many veterans with similar injuries that regularly complete in marathons with prosthetic limbs. The difference is the mental status issues, which is the real cause. Most of the events that I experienced while I was in Iraq did not bother me until I got home. I had a hard time adjusting to everyday life, and, you know, to this day, sometimes it's difficult. I suffered from the nightmares, the anger, and depression. Several of my combat veterans that are friends of mine still suffer from severe PTSD issues and other mental illnesses. I believe the worst injury caused by war is PTSD, as well as other mental illnesses. PTSD affects most combat veterans in one way or another, especially if it's left untreated or covered up by remaining constantly busy in life. For example, there has been a growing number of Vietnam veterans seeking mental help at the VA after they've retired from a very successful civilian career. During which, as they were in their civilian career, they had very little issues related to combat stress. Now that they are not working anymore and are idle, the nightmares start all over again. The cause is that they never addressed their mental issues. They buried them by remaining engaged and busy with work instead of facing the problem. The reason I'm sharing this with you tonight is because all of us are involved in a spiritual war that mirrors the combat our service members face. This war can result in very similar casualties as those suffered by our veterans. We must be aware of this. We must continue to draw an eye onto the Lord and remain strong and not become casualties of this war. 2012 or 2013, it's going to be a fight. I believe that. It's going to be a hard fight. It's going to be a hard year. But we're already on the winning side. Amen. Let's get our building built so that it can be our VA hospital to train and treat and encourage the Lord's army, which is comprised of all of us.
Pastor. Thank you, my brother.
Okay, give Josh a big hand. Thanks, Josh. Look at number five, and we're going to close down real fast. It takes a lot of energy, money, and time and manpower to fight on four fronts. That's where we've been for 4 years. Southeast Asia, sent Kumali. We sent my brother. We sent the boards. We sent brother two, the Vongs now. Of course, Buna came from Bible college. He wasn't really set back here. We're sending Adrian. He's tonight. Jennifer, Bernice. And by the way, Monterey Park, about half our staff were there to help out, okay? We need to understand that. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to do? I want us to all understand. You know, the last 4 years, we've been in a battle. But thank God we have a faithful God. We have faithful people. By the way, let me say this. There's been some casualties. By the way, there's been friendly fire. Josh didn't mention that. You say, what's friendly fire? The guy, Tillman, was that his name? Tillman. Tillman was a professional football player, and he gave up a huge contract to go and fight, I don't know if it was Afghanistan, or was it in Afghanistan? And he went there, became a special, was that?
Ranger.
He became a ranger, and he went to Afghanistan, and he died, and we come to find out, he got friendly fire. Say, what's friendly fire? It's our own people accidentally killing our own soldiers. Okay? There are very few Christians. There's some that are evil. You say, what is evil? Evil is setting out to get somebody. But then, sometimes, we're just unintentionally hurt people. By the way, when you're spiritually fatigued, look, there are some Christians, it's just take it easy. That's between them and God. I'm not going to judge them, but I want to be a soldier of the cross. I want to be a soldier of the cross. When you're a soldier, I like war movies. How many like war movies? I don't necessarily like seeing heads being blown off, but I like war movies, and, you know, the Americans always win, amen? Unless you're probably in China or something. But I'll tell you what, I'll watch these war movies, and these guys are in intense situations, and whoever's the leader, he's, next thing you know, he's arguing, and they're arguing about something. It's like, no, we're all going to die. It's like, no, we got to go forward, and there's a little bit of tension there. Let me say this. When you're in a church that's going on and trying to do the general's will, sometimes there's going to be friction, but we're all on the same team, okay? Let's look on number 6. God's purpose has been accomplished in the 1040 window. I'm not saying we're done. Satan's playground. God's purpose has been accomplished in the 1040 window in Judea and Samaria. I had a phenomenal meeting, the best meeting I've ever had with Brother Board 3 days ago. It was very, very, I think it extended Cambodia and what's going to happen in Cambodia. For decades, just our little meeting. I really believe God, one reason God raised up Pacific Baptist, by the way, God raised up, Brother Ray, the missionary Hughes, what was his first name? Bob Hughes. Bob Hughes to go to the Philippines, I don't know, 40 years ago, and now there's revival in the Philippines. We need revival in the 1040 window in Cambodia. And I really believe, just like God raised up Hudson Taylor in the China Inland Mission, God's raised up this church for not only Cambodia, but for Cambodia and Laos and part of Southeast Asia. But let me say this. Do you know what it took to get that started? It took a lot of energy. Truth is, it took some of us fighting each other. None of us. By the way, some of you don't get this, but some of you are going to get it. You're going to go home and get it tonight. You say, what? We're in a battle. Satan wasn't going to let us do this without friction. He wasn't going to let us do this without some weariness and without causing some problems. And truth is, people misunderstanding, and we're in that battle. And the next thing you know it, Satan's trying to do what he can to stop us. But aren't you glad he didn't stop us? That's what the Apostle Paul was saying. Endure hardness as a good Christian soldier. In Ephesians chapter 6, he said, be strong in the Lord. Listen, I'm already decided I was going to go on a diet, but I'm not going to go on a diet after I saw Perry today. Okay. I'm going to start doing push-ups, but I'm not going on a diet because I don't want my lung to be punctured or whatever happened to him, I said earlier, collapsed. But I tell you what I want to do. I want to be strong in the Lord. Okay? And praise God, there's a church in Monterey Park, and it's a model church. I go over there, and I'm used to it, but it's phenomenal. There's soul winners over there. There's give me a little bit more on this. I need to hear myself. Just crank that all the way up. There's new Converts over there. It's just a model church. Okay, look at number seven. Number seven. Son, you want to go get me a battery for that, please? Number seven. Now, here's the message, and then we'll go into next week, and then we're done. It's time to begin refocusing on Jerusalem. Say, what's Jerusalem? Right here. Say, what are we doing? More training, more reaching souls, more emphasis on here and long. Now, listen, let me just say this. I heard it. Every time you hear one thing, there's 10 other people saying it. I heard this. We're emphasizing too much on Cambodia. We're emphasizing too much missions. We're emphasizing too much on church planting. And let me say this. As the leader, sometimes you have to just be nice and take the hit. But you can't always, you have to listen to people, okay? I believe this is what God wants to do. But I'll say this. It's time to regroup and to go forward right here. Amen? We're going to, this year, the year 2013, we're going to spend more time. We're not forsaking Southeast Asia for those of you that, oh, I want to go. I'm going to be a missionary. Good. But guess what? There's a great infrastructure. There's a great team there now. You say, why? Because of God and because of the people here at Pacific Baptist. We were willing to go to war, and we're staying in the war, but we're going to do a little bit more here. By the way, we didn't quit. If you want to know how, listen, I didn't want to quit the first 20 years of our church. I wanted to quit the last 4 years. You say, why? I was in battle. There was battle. I don't mean a physical battle. Paul said, we fight not against flesh and blood. We fight against spiritual high places and wicked places. We were and still are, but in a big way the last 4 years, in a spiritual battle. But aren't you glad we didn't do what the rebellious people in America caused our soldiers to come home from Vietnam? We didn't quit. We haven't quit. That was a sad day when all those soldiers had to come home with their tails tucked between their legs, not because they did anything wrong. It's because of the public opinion and all the liberals, and I'm not going to go there. All right, here we go. Number next. Letter A, we will clarify and refocus as we prepare to move in the new building, okay? See, what's that new building for? That new building is so for the people of Pacific Baptist, and so that we can reach a community and the surrounding communities for Christ. Amen? Letter B, I'm very excited about what I believe God is going to do in 2013. Number eight, the strongest soldiers are those that can withstand the enemy's fire. I'm 52. You can put those away. We're done. I'm 52. And one thing I'm learning, actually, I keep hearing Brother Treber say it. He says, you know what? When I go into churches, and I know that this is, there's some exceptions. He says, when I go into churches, guess what I don't see? You don't see very many Brother Stevensons. 77? 77. You say, why? Because every time a soldier says, I'll go on the front lines, he's vulnerable. By the way, there's people here, you've gone on the front lines, and guess what? You got hit. You know what happens when people get hit? They either say, you know what? I'm going to the medic. And they get stronger and go back out there. Or you know what they do? They quit. By the way, again, that's why I start off with the second verse, the second portion of scripture at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Be strong in the Lord. We need to love God. But there's what some people call sloppy agape. You say, what is that? It's not scriptural love. It's sloppy love. You know what we need to do? We need to love God. And I've decided, as a Christian, and I want to lead the church so that we're not just sheep, and God's just not our shepherd, but God wants us to be soldiers. This is Daryl Chaplin. Let me say this, church, and then I'm done. If you're going to be a soldier of the cross, you're going to have battles. Someone came up to me recently, and well, I won't go into that, but you're going to have battles. And here's the question. Are you going to come out and just keep going? I mentioned Daryl Chaplin, godly man. He's in his 80s. I believe all his children on the mission field and his wife. I think I told a story before. But let me say this. Unbelievable battles. Let me read this. 1954, at the age of 22, Daryl and Louise and their baby, this chaplain, David, arrived as missionaries in the Belgium Congo, Africa. For 10 years, they lived in the deep jungles of Belgium Congo as jungle rats. In a mud and stick house with floors, dirt floors, Jonathan and Deborah were born there. 13 churches and 7 Christian schools were established, and 36 national preachers were trained. This is out no man's land, out in the bush. 10 years later, in 1964, they were evacuated from Congo after the destruction of their mission outpost and the burning of all the churches and all the schools. That was how many? 13 churches and 7 schools all burned down. Okay? 20 of their 36 preachers, when he said preachers, you know, some of the preacher guys, Brother Ross and you know, Brother Charlie, these guys, those were his preachers. 20 of the 36 were murdered. Hundreds of national Christians were massacred, and Louise's wife's sister-in-law was martyred. And the survivors were driven into hidings in the jungles. That would be like this church. By the way, if this church burned down, thank God we have fire insurance. There's no fire insurance in the Congo in the bush. All the churches were burned down. 20 of the preachers, Brother Ross's head's cut off, Ray Pichardo's head's cut off, Brother Myers' head's cut off. Well, some of them are better than others. This church burns down. Monterey Church burns down. My son's killed. A bunch of our preachers are killed. And then Brother Board says, guess what happened? The government shut us down, killed someone. And then you say, what are you going to do? I don't know about you. I'm going fishing. If I'm still alive. So what'd they do? The door to the Congo stayed closed. So the chaplains were led to the jungles of Suriname, South America, 1965. They entered a mission field where none of the previous 3 missionary families had lasted more than a year. Their 4th child, Ethan, was born that same year. Since 1965, the ministry has grown 9 churches, 11 chapels and Bible institutes, 2 clinics, and many evangelist outreaches in villages and towns over the 150-mile area. You say, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying this. We've been in a battle for 4 years. By the way, we'll always be in a battle. Unless you have a pastor that says, and by the way, some pastors do. They don't quit the ministry. They quit the fight. I see Naima here. I heard a sermon. Before we hired Naima, I wanted to make sure her pastor didn't have like rock and roll bands in. I knew he was a straight guy, but man, who knows nowadays? And I listened to a couple of sermons. Brother Vogelin, a godly pastor, just a faithful man. And I listened to one of his sermons, and he said 1 year, and I don't know what happened. Maybe you know, Naomi, what happened. But he said catastrophe came to their church. They have they're probably in their part of the woods. It's not a very populated area. Chesterton, how many have ever heard of Chesterton, Indiana? Yeah, nobody, okay? Oh, Joshua, because he used to live out there. But they have a huge church. But he said in one school year, they lost 100 students in their Christian school. Now, my guess is they probably lost all the families too, okay? And there was some catastrophe. It wasn't because Pastor Vogelin wasn't a good Christian. It wasn't because the church was a bad church. It was because the devil was on their tail. But he went on to say he said, what do we do? We're soldiers of the cross. We stay faithful. And he went on to share all the blessing. Let's stand together.